You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci with the program that puts money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We hope you had a great New Year. Happy New Year. 2018 is upon us. It's amazing, man. It feels like just yesterday that the 2017 National Football League regular season was kicking off. But the wild card weekend is here. And I'll tell you what, it's a pretty cool wild card weekend. And not just because my Buffalo Bills are participating in it and in the playoffs for the first time in a hell of a long time. For the first time since the year 2000, which is pretty crazy because my band Homicide played our first show in Montreal since for the first time since what year? 2000. That's all it took was Homicide to come back and play Montreal for the Bills. Pretty weird. The last two times the Bills have made the playoffs, I was in Montreal as I was in a hotel room in Montreal watching the Bills beat the Dolphins and then the Bengals beat the Ravens, but we'll get to that. We got Dave Malinsky stepping up and in. We're going to run through the wild cards with Dave. We got a great show lined up for you. We've got some great guests. Chris Meaney, all smart guys. Meaney's going to be in studio with us. We'll talk NFL football. Meaney's a big DFS NBA guy. Isaiah Thomas returns. Meaney's a big NHL guy. Vegas playing tonight. Vegas just continue to kill it. They're down to 6-1 to win a cup right now, guys. And a freaking expansion team, 6-1. They were as high as 200-1 when the season opened. 6-1 right now. They haven't lost a game in regulation since December the 1st. Yeah, of last year. So, yeah, Chris Meaney's going to join us. Paul Bovey's going to step up. And then we're going to talk NFL wild card with Paul Bovey. We'll talk some college football with the professor, Dave Malinsky. We'll get Bovey's take on the championship game as well. Updated number right now, guys. The Alabama Crimson Tide are 4.5-point favorites next Monday night. The over-under is an even 45. This game is in Atlanta, Georgia, man. So, you know, Georgia playing in her backyard, very interesting dynamic. And, you know, it's funny because I went to the Tim Tebow Bradford championship game years ago. And at the time, it was pretty much like the biggest championship game ever, like as far as hype was concerned. And we had a couple extra tickets. We had like VIP passes, me and Cam Stewart, when we were high rollers. We were representing the International Bowl. We didn't rep them very well. If me getting wasted and storming out of the stadium and getting punched in the face in the parking lot is representing them, then I guess I repped them pretty good. So, yeah, it was chaos. Anyways, we had a couple of tickets. We had passes. We asked the scalper, what are these worth anyways? He's like, $40? We're like, we got VIP passes. He's like, well, man, he goes, if I give you 44, I might get 80, maybe 100. He goes, what do you want me to tell you? We're like, really? He goes, bro, we're giving tickets away. They ain't giving tickets away for this championship game. I just saw right now that Alabama fan just paid $104,000 for 10 tickets. $104,000 for 10 tickets on a 50-yard line for the championship game, man. Man, Georgia fans have money. Bama fans are nuts. The game is in the freaking South. It's an all-SEC title game. And, oh, God. I'm not an SEC hater, but I think the SEC's overrated, so whatever, man. I've got to suck it up and eat crow all week because we got two damn SEC teams in a championship game. But nevertheless, all right, so yeah, we got a great show lined up for you right now. Now, normally, you know, we do a Who Ruined Your Sunday at this time. You know, it's our first show. We weren't on Monday because it was New Year's, obviously. So normally I'd say, you know, Who Ruined Your Sunday, Week 17 edition, whatever. I went 4-1, man. My only loss was the Raiders. I can't sit here and rip the Raiders for 10 minutes for losing the last regular season game of the year. Now, we all know that Who Ruined Your Sundays have essentially, you know, they've basically always been about Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's caused me more grief than any quarterback in the National Football League has over the years, as we all know. So it's kind of fitting and poetic, isn't it, that Andy Dalton actually just brought me the most joy as a football fan that I've felt in a hell of a long time. I am a very bitter, jaded, and angry individual. And I'm not just saying this. I am like Krusty the Clown. I am Krusty the Clown. You won't find somebody. I'm like a cross between Mo Sizlak and Krusty. You know, you're not really going to find anyone closer to Krusty than I am. And you remember when Krusty stayed with the Simpsons? And Homer says, you know, for a clown, this guy's really not a lot of fun to be around. And Marge told him, I keep telling you, when he's not on the air, he's miserable, depressed, and angry, and mean-spirited. But, You know, I was in Montreal over the weekend, and, you know, I used to be in a band, Homicide. We decided to get back together against my better judgment. We played a reunion show in Montreal over the weekend. Went really well, actually. Went really well. But, you know, I had a few drinks on Saturday night. Nothing on New Year's Eve, but a few drinks on Saturday night. So I'm not going to lie. I was pretty hungover on Sunday afternoon when I was watching that Bills game. And then I took a couple of naps throughout the day, and it was crazy. I had this crazy dream that the Bills made the playoffs and that Andy Dalton completed a pass on like 4th and 12 or something with like 44 seconds left against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. And then I had a dream that all these Bills fans spread out around the world were all freaking out at the exact same time watching it. It was like, you know, it was a great dream. And then I woke up and I'm like, man, I wonder who made the playoffs. Chargers, Titans, who got in when it's all said and done? But no, it wasn't a dream. The Buffalo Bills made the playoffs. All of the negativity and all of the pot shots and jokes about the Buffalo Bills in the city of Buffalo. The fine people of Buffalo finally had something to celebrate and didn't get screwed. The football gods screwed the Baltimore Ravens. They screwed the Chargers. And after all these years, Buffalo Bill fans had a opportunity to celebrate. And, you know, it's only making the playoffs. The Bills didn't win the Super Bowl. But, you know, look at Bills fans that went to Miami. These are Bill fans that went to Miami to watch the Bills play. And then they hung around the stadium, Hard Rock Stadium, to watch the Bengals in a Ravens game. Look at these guys' reactions. Listen to the shrieking and the sheer joy of this. And, you know, to me, you know, the Mexico jacket was just the best. Like, the Mexico jacket seals that video. Now, listen, I've been a Bills fan since 1977 or so, okay? Like, since the end of the OJ era, and, you know, Joe Cribbs, Joe Ferguson was my real first team that I really remember and pulled for as a kid. So imagine, like, being a Buffalo Bill fan for the last 40 years, guys. Like, you know what I've been through? You know what I've seen? The torture, the torment. You know, not just the Super Bowl losses, man. All right? You know, going back years, there was a game in the playoffs. Don Beebe dropped the ball. He landed on his head. Ronnie Harmon dropping the ball in the end zone. The loss in the cold weather game. Our first AFC Conference Championship game against Boomer Esiason. The Music City freaking miracle, man. The last time we were in the playoffs. That's the last time we were in the playoffs. That's our memory of the damn playoffs. You know, there's other than the Cleveland Browns winning, like other than those loyal guys in the dog pound, other than them winning, I can't think of anything else that's similar to this. You know, the Boston Red Sox, whatever, man. You guys had the Celtics. Yeah, the Red Sox didn't win, but the Patriots, you know, were winning. Or the Patriots, you know, all your teams have always won all the time. Buffalo Sabres have never won. They only have two teams. They've never won. Buffalo's not the, you know, exactly the, you know, the glamorous hotspot of America, although it is a much better city than people give it credit for. But, you know, Buffalo Bill fans, there's a lot of crappy teams in sports, but their fans aren't loyal. The Bills fans are loyal as hell. And I'm not going to cry over making the playoffs, but I'm not going to lie. My eyes weren't dry, all right? It was one of those deals where I was like, am I actually crying? I was sitting there, and I was like, no, I'm not crying, but my eyes are kind of moist here, man. And I didn't do like, ah! I sort of like watched it. I said, oh, my God. I got up off my bed. I was just sort of like, they did it. They did. I was in shock. I was like Jim Valvano looking for someone to hug, man. No one to hug. No one to high five. My Twitter's never blown up like that. I appreciate all the kind words from everybody, but I'm not on the Bills, you know. I didn't make the playoffs, but how about the Bills fans waiting for them at the airport? And, you know, just the goodwill. Happy New Year to the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, the NFL regular season was anticlimactic, but we've got a lot of fresh faces in the NFL playoffs right now. And I got a feeling some crazy things are going to happen from here on out. And props to Kyle Williams, longtime Buffalo Bill, gets into the playoffs. And as Kyle Williams stated, you know, this isn't the ending. This is just the beginning. And I'll tell you what, the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Bill fans ain't fearing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, well, tickets are going for $10,000 a piece for that national championship game on Monday night. I guarantee you, man, Buffalo Bills will gladly pay the $286 the tickets are going for right now on StubHub to get into this stadium. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Go Bills!
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. So I guess officially our first guest of the year on the Fantasy Sports Network will be the professor, Dave Malinsky, who was actually my first guest on the late night anger management class this year. As me and Dave watched Alabama defeat the Clemson Tigers to advance to the College Football National Championship game. Line is settled in right now. Tied, -4.5. Over, under, 45, Dave, the stage is set. And, you know, the SEC kind of took it on the chin a little bit this year. And a lot of people sort of reveled in the fact that the SEC wasn't you know, going to take over and wasn't quite as dominant. And I was one of them. I'm sort of one of these guys that, hey, let's give some love to the Big Ten. Let's give some love to the ACC. But when it's all said and done, Dave, we've got two SEC teams left standing.
Disappointment is, you know, there's not this huge sizzle for the game now because we've seen Alabama there all the time. But I think something you and I talked about on this show a month ago, if you're going to put the four best teams in, Alabama's in. You know, I mean, a lot of people kind of wanted change or they wanted something to be a little different. But regardless of whatever idiosyncrasies people want to talk about, well, you didn't win your division, blah, blah. If anyone had just asked, was Alabama one of the four best teams in the country, it was really that simple. And here's what we're seeing from a market standpoint, too, that Alabama closed 3.5 over Clemson yesterday. They're out there at 4.5 now. Essentially what Vegas is saying, that Alabama was probably at least a full 3 points better than any other team in the country. And it's the people in Vegas that study who's better than who more than anyone. So, yeah, it's an anticlimax. It's got a chance to actually be a pretty dull game. It's going to be a grinder. But if Alabama wins, do they deserve the trophy? Who's going to take it away from them?
How much stock do you put? How much of an advantage is it that the game is in Georgia, that it's in Atlanta?
Alabama's won so many games in Atlanta. This field.
Yeah, it's a new field, new stadium. But you're right. I mean, Nick Saban is the king of Atlanta, pretty much here. And I saw earlier. I talked about it, Dave. Darren Rovell tweeted out that an Alabama fan bought 10 tickets for $104,000 on the 50-yard line. So clearly, Alabama fans are willing to pay whatever it takes to get into the building.
Yeah, because they expect to be there. You know, they spend their entire season in the anticipation of this. If you're a Wake Forest alum, you don't hold back money thinking, hey, maybe Wake Forest will be in the championship game, so let's not plan anything. No, Alabama fans can plan this pretty much from day one. But this time, Georgia fans will stand right up to them. I think I thought the Georgia-Oklahoma crowd was sensational in Pasadena. Now, put these teams under a roof to enhance that noise. The setting's got a chance to be special. It's just the football may not be. We might be looking at a 24-20 relative grinder of a game. This certainly will not resemble the Rose Bowl.
Well, even though we have two SEC teams, Dave, they don't play often, actually. And I was quite surprised to see the infrequency in which they've actually played against each other. They played in 2012. They played in 2015. Georgia hasn't beaten them since 2007, but they've only actually played four times since 2007. So it's kind of a, you know, it is, even though they're two SEC teams, it is kind of a fresh matchup. It's not like the Alabama. It's not like Alabama playing LSU or something like that. We don't see Alabama versus Georgia that often.
Yeah, and the conundrum, and this is something we deal with all the time in the sports world, who gets the advantage? Kirby Smart from knowing Nick Saban's ways and some of the Alabama personnel, or Saban for knowing Kirby Smart's coaching playbook inside out? That'll be one of the interesting things over the course of the week. There is one major issue, though, that Alabama still has. Lane Kiffin was very dynamic with the Crimson Tide playbook last year, did a real good job of getting their playmakers out in space. That didn't happen this season, and it certainly didn't happen against Clemson. That was not a good showing by the Alabama offense. They're going to have to reach back for something that they haven't shown us yet if they're going to be able to beat Georgia.
You know, it was very reminiscent, I thought, last night's game to Alabama beating the Washington Huskies last year, Dave, if you remember. And it was a similar situation. It was 24-6, I think, 24-3 finals. What was it, 24-3 final score? They got to 24. The offense was okay, but it wasn't great. Washington's defense held their own, but Browning was overwhelmed, and the offense was overwhelmed. And I see a similar situation. It'll be interesting to see. Georgia have shown an ability to make plays and put points up on the board. And their defense is pretty good as well. I know they were in a track meet yesterday, but they made plays when they had to. So, Dave, right now, are you leaning with Alabama minus the 4.5? I want to take Georgia, except, you know, you just don't get rich picking on Nick Saban, man. That's the problem.
Yeah, I hate for this to be a cop-out, but when I do the ratings, this is the classic lay 3, take 7 game.
Yeah.
I would lay Alabama minus 3. I would take Georgia plus 7. I don't expect to see either number. There was an under 48 that was out there for a brief window last night that went into pocket. That was just someone setting a number too high. That total's already been knocked all the way down to 45. It's just hard to find much edge. But, because you know, I also gave, we're looking at what I believe will be a close game because neither team makes mistakes. Neither team is going to give the ball away to the other side. They run safe plays. So this is just going to be blocking and tackling, old-school football. So I think it's a low-variance game. But I wouldn't be surprised, based on where the numbers are right now at kickoff, I might not have a single penny in play.
So college football winds down, although we have the All-Star games coming up, and I know you always enjoy taking a look at those rosters. I enjoy betting on those games. We don't have the Blue-Gray game anymore, but we got the Shrine Bowl and the Player Agent Association, whatever the hell, and all these other games right now, Dave. But just quickly, as college football wraps up, and Michigan fans are not happy right now. It's amazing. It went from 19-3 to them being very upset about the way things ended, including myself. Good thing the Bills make the playoffs. Otherwise, I would have had a heart attack yesterday watching this Michigan debacle. I don't know what the hell Ed Orgeron was doing yesterday, Dave. Like, how the hell do you kick a field goal in that spot? And he ends up losing a game, deservedly so. And all the talk about Georgia, Lincoln Riley picked a pretty strange time to lose his cojones, Dave, this year. And I would have went for it on 4th-and-1 in overtime. You kick a field goal? I mean, kicking a field goal at the collegiate level is risky at the best of times anyways. You got Baker Mayfield and company. It's one damn yard. You pick it up, Dave. I wouldn't have kicked the field goal there. I would have went for it and tried to score a touchdown.
Especially in that type of game, the way the game flow had been. Because when you kick the field goal, that means you're putting confidence in your defense, which really hadn't done much over the course of the game to give him any confidence. But welcome to the big time. You know, coaching in these games where everybody is watching. And that's one of the things Lincoln Riley will learn, that for the next 20 years of his life, this is where he has. Some guys become impervious to it over time. You know, guys like Saban, Dabo Swinney is probably getting there. But for these younger guys, that is an awful lot of pressure, especially in the social media era.
Yeah, it's a good point. Rose Bowl, first time here. Lincoln Riley's, what, he's like 32 years old, 33 years old. He did a great job this year. All right, Dave, so NFL football. So one thing about the bowl games that I find frustrating is the long inactivity in between games. So we've seen, you know, oftentimes, you know, either coaches leave or the teams are unprepared. So it's almost when you're capping these college games, the bowl games, oftentimes, Dave, the regular season numbers don't really mean anything. You're really capping an enthusiasm factor, you know, who's there, and you know, are the coaches there? What were the practices like? Are they treating it like a vacation, etc.? There's a lot of dynamics. NFL football in the playoffs is a little bit different. You know, these teams aren't going to change in a week, are they? The Titans aren't suddenly a different football team because they made the playoffs. The Bills are who the Bills are right now. But with that being stated, you know, there is something to be said. There's usually that upstart team, Dave. There's always a surprise or two. I mean, the favorites don't always win every football game in the NFL playoffs. So, and I look at the playoff bracket, and it should be a pretty fun playoffs, Dave. We've got some new teams. We should have some exciting matchups. I think Pittsburgh can play with New England. You know, Minnesota could win the NFC, but there's some good teams there as well. What's your take on the NFL playoffs, and how do you approach capping it?
Yeah, one of the things that can happen, though, in terms of teams changing a little bit, now here comes some pressure. And when you look for the teams that haven't faced it much before, and in this particular instance, big favorites out there, the Rams and Jacksonville, both laying relatively high numbers for teams with no playoff pedigree. Jacksonville coming in literally stumbling to the playoffs. Blake Bortles throws 5 interceptions the last 2 weeks. Do we know that Doug Marone will do the right things under pressure? No. Do we know that Sean McVay will do the right things under pressure? No. So there is that added element that comes into play. Also, the fact that from a physical standpoint, teams that expect to be in the playoffs approach their seasons a little differently. They lay their rotations out a little differently. You'll see some teams look fresh out there who expected to be here, but how fresh are the Jaguars going to be? You know, this is all so very, very new to them. So we'll look to buck the teams that we don't think are ready for those level of pressure. And in fact, maybe one of the classics is Rams against Atlanta.
Yeah,
Atlanta will be a calm, relaxed team. There is no pressure this Sunday that the Falcons haven't faced the last couple of years. They're more likely to play within themselves than a Rams team that may be a bit nervous.
What do you make of a guy like Cam Newton? Or even a Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod Taylor playing with a chip on his shoulder. And he might even be still auditioning for another coach somewhere else, Dave, when it's all said and done. But I look at a guy like Cam Newton, and as you stated, some teams play different in the regular season. You know, do you expect Cam Newton to start running people over? That's where I'm going with this. Is Cam Newton
you are
like,
a runner now.
Yeah, exactly. Like Tyrod Taylor, that's why I think they can literally legitimately beat them outright. Because I think Taylor will make a play here or there where he's just going to take off. You know, almost the playbook gets tossed out a little bit and becomes a playground game in the playoffs. Then you get a guy like Cam Newton that maybe in week 9, he's not going to lower his shoulder and run over a linebacker. But now that it's in the playoffs, he will do it, Dave. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. From here on out, running quarterbacks are running quarterbacks. And I'll tell you one other guy we might see run the ball a little bit more this week, Alex Smith.
Yeah,
who's a good runner. The Chiefs didn't need to run him in the scope of their offense this year, but now everything is available. Now, especially when you know, when you're Carolina and you're Buffalo, you know, your quarterback's probably going to have to run. You know, the weakness the Bills have, their receivers going to have a tough time getting open against the Jacksonville secondary. So you're going to need to do something a little bit extra. And let's say the same thing about Carolina. You can almost make a case, not just among playoff teams, but among all 32 teams, two of the weakest groups of wide receivers in the NFL are Buffalo and Carolina, their current groups.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting, Dave? Look at Jacksonville. They got better when Robinson went out. And yeah, the Bills don't have a ton of wide receivers, and Carolina doesn't either. But it almost simplifies things. I mean, do Army or Navy have a ton of wide receivers? You know what I mean? Like, it seems to me that football, like these coordinators, if you give them too many weapons, they overcomplicate things and they overthink things. It's almost like, all right, we don't have this, we don't have that. Let's run the ball. Let's do, you know, let's come up with a few screenplays we can get first downs on. I don't mind the simplified game plan, Dave. I find it's pretty effective. Because in a day and age of spread offenses and tic-tac-toe and all this other stuff, I think teams have a problem with smash-mouth football a little bit nowadays.
It's certainly what Buffalo needs to be able to do this week. And that's where Jacksonville has been a little bit vulnerable. get out there and run the football, slow the game down, establish some field position, put pressure on Blake Bortles. Difficulty for the Bills if they fall behind. The Jacksonville pass rush was the NFL's best.
Yeah.
Buffalo has not done a great job of protecting Taylor. And sometimes Taylor just doesn't get the ball out, you know, the way he should. If Buffalo falls behind and has to throw, that's where that snap gets in there. So one of the things we would suggest for situations like that, if someone likes Buffalo, think about the first half. You're going to be able to take at least 4.5. I think there's some fives out there. In the first half, you're running the plays you want to run. Conservative, run with McCoy. In the second half, you may be down 10 or 14 and be forced to air it out. And now you're calling the plays you don't want to have to call. You're at the wrong part of your playbook. So I think if someone likes Buffalo, give that first half consideration, especially because Jacksonville might be even more nervous at kickoff than your typical NFL favorite.
All right, Dave, unfortunately, we got to get out of here right now, but we got about a minute left or so. Nebraska, Northwestern this evening. It was 9. I think people read your column this morning. I see it's been bet down to 8 right now. You still okay with it at 8?
Yeah, it still works at 8. One of the things we're going to follow all season, the Northwestern home court advantage, they're playing all the way across town. You know, Welsh Ryan Arena is being renovated this year, so they're all the way over at the Allstate Arena. And when I see across town, this is rush hour Chicago traffic. Yeah, I mean, there may be times it may take them a 45-minute bus ride to get to a home game. I don't think the fan support is going to be very high. That arena seats 18,500. They'll be lucky to get 6,000 tonight. They will not have one-third of the arena. So I don't think that's being priced right in the betting markets yet. Nebraska's nothing special, but Northwestern won't intimidate them, and the crowd won't intimidate them. So there's an 8-point dog that can hang around.
We got to get out of here, but I'll tell you, this isn't old school Nebraska basketball that puts 51 points up on the board. They're averaging 21.5 3-point attempts per game. They're averaging 75.8 points per game, their highest average in 15 years. You want to get smarter? Read Dave's column. He's got a great column today covering everything about the NFL. It's over at sportsbookreview.com. Thanks for the time, Dave. Happy New Year.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Chris Meaney joins us in studio coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Chris Meaney into the studio, co-host of On Target with Joe Pisapia, Jake Seeley, Monday to Friday, 4 to 6 Eastern, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeartRadio, Alexa, Google, Xbox, PlayStation, Roku.
All over the place.
Yeah, pretty anything you can plug in. If it plugs in, then the Fantasy Sports Radio Network is on it. So Chris Meaney comes in, congratulates me on the Buffalo Bills. He's like, oh, great job, man. Congratulations on the Bills. And then he starts throwing shade like 2 seconds later. He goes, but you know, they're not going to score more than 10 points, and they're done this week.
I said Jacksonville wouldn't score more than 14, to be fair.
So like, you're saying 14-10? You like the under.
I like the under. It's going to be a battle game. It really is.
Phil Sims?
Why? You're like, Phil Sims gave no shot?
Yeah, Phil Sims comes on right after the CBS show, right after the Dalton touchdown. He's like, oh, I'll tell you, the Jags just got the easiest matchup. They didn't want to play it. They'd rather play the Bills. I'm like, what, more than the Titans or other crap team?
It doesn't matter. You play the Titans. You play them 3 times this year. But
the Bills are 4-2 in their last 6 games with the 2 losses to the Patriots.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that they're not playing good ball, but, they have a tough task ahead of them to go up against Jacksonville. Jacksonville allows 170 passing yards per game. The Bills don't even average that.
Last 2 weeks, the Jags haven't looked too good, have they?
They haven't
Blake
looked
Bortles,
all
Blake Bortles, 5 interceptions.
Great. Blake Bortles hasn't looked great. I think they'll get back
Leonard
to
Fournette
what
hasn't
they do
looked
on
great.
The ground. I think that's what they'll do, though. They'll get back to a run game. And
Leonard
that's
Fournette's
the
only
weakest,
topped 70 yards
part.
Once in the last 5 weeks.
The biggest key here is you're going to be without your best player. And even if he does play, and LeSean McCoy.
Shady's going to play.
he's not going to be 100%.
Who is 100%?
Right, but you...
Is Leonard Fournette 100%?
No, but I would take Leonard Fournette right now over Shady. Heading into this football
game.
You're
just a hater, man.
I'm not a hater. I'm being realistic, Gabe. Come on. I mean, you got one of the worst offensive teams in the playoffs. Actually, they are the worst.
Yes.
They were 28th in the entire league, and they're going up against arguably the best cornerback duo in the league. You're not going to be able to pass on them.
We're also going up against Blake Bortles.
Sure.
We're going up against Doug Marrone.
You are. You're going up against Doug Marrone. I don't know where you're going with that.
I mean, the Jags, what I'm saying is Doug Marrone's never been in a playoff game before. I mean, the Jags just lost to the San Francisco 49ers 2 weeks ago.
Everyone is losing the
49ers. And then the following week.
The best team in football.
And then wanted to play their starters again.
Yeah.
So they didn't get a bad, you know.
That was weird.
And what happens? Bortles throws more interceptions they lose another game.
Yeah. And I think, you know, watching them play over the past couple weeks and Bortles throwing the ball a ton, I think what I said is they'll get back to what they were doing earlier in the year, just run the football. They've been without their best wide receiver
Buffalo,
over the past couple weeks.
Buffalo will win outright, Chris. Outright.
All right, man. Well,
outright. I'm betting it. I'm betting on all three. I'm betting on three of the four games on the underdogs to win outright this week.
I like the favorites. And
there's
I like
only
them
one.
All to win. Like,
that's crazy talk.
It's not crazy talk. It's not crazy talk at all. The Chiefs are going to roll the Titans.
Yeah,
the Titans
are shaky.
The Rams are going to be fine. And so the Saints have already crushed Carolina. Carolina's brutal. They look awful.
So you're laying the chalk on all four games.
I won't lay the chalk on them covering the Jags, but I do think that they win that football game. Yeah. How can I not think that they're going to win that
football
game?
Well, if you're that confident, lay the 9 points.
I don't need to lay the 9 points. I'll hit the money line and move on.
Well, the money line. The money's like -500 or something.
So what? I'll get the W. I'm not going to just bet Buffalo because they're giving me good odds. I'm going to think they're going to win the football game. I hate to come in here and rain on the parade game.
No, that's exactly what you're doing.
But, I mean, I'm just going to be realistic. I mean, here we are, arguably the best cornerback duo of all time. I mean, good luck throwing the ball on that Jags defense,
Is there an
Gabe.
Umbrella? Can you get me an umbrella?
You beat the Dolphins.
All right, hold on. Let's check the prices. Why don't we all take the bet?
Sure. At the end of the day.
We'll go with what uwager.eu money line is.
Okay. Also, Buffalo has to win for you to win the bet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. A money line bet.
Yeah. I mean, think about it.
All right.
How
it's going to be
pass
a problem
on this team.
It's going to be a problem for you if they lose, though.
Sure. It's a huge if. It's a big time if. I'm not the one who makes the odds. What do you think? I come in here and make the 8.5 spread? I mean,
I'm not the only one
to think Jacksonville should be favored in this football
game. All right.
Game.
Down to 8 here, right here now. All right. So basically.
-375.
So basically, I'll give you $100. They win. I get $100. If the Jacksonville Jaguars win, I will give you on the air next week.
Yeah.
$100 bill.
Sure. And I give you.
Yet if I win, I'm getting $295.
It's not bad. I'll take it. Right on the air. Boom. Giddy up.
Go Bills!
I understand, like, you're excited. I'd like for you to take your Bills blindfold off for a minute, though. I mean, like...
Don't worry. I'm going to have you on next week. I have a lot of opinions on the Eagles' playoff chances, meaning.
And guess what?
Not good.
I'm an Eagles guy.
Not good.
I bleed green, and I think that they're one and done. I mean, I think that they're done. So, like, we won't be able to make a double or nothing, because I'm going to be with you on that side. I mean, I don't think the Eagles – I sat here in this very same chair and told you, you're going to see over the next couple weeks why Carson Wentz should be considered the MVP. And he probably still should be. Joe Montana won the MVP when he had 13 games in the season.
I know.
I mean, Foles is going to be the reason. This team has allowed 54 points, I think, in their last five home games.
Chiefs and Titans, I can live with your – the Titans are bad. Falcons – I'm calling an upset outright win.
What is Atlanta showing you?
What do you mean, what is Atlanta showing me? They're a 10-6 football team.
Yeah, but the Rams. I mean, they didn't even play anybody last week. They would have won that game. Maybe 12 wins. The best offense in football.
Rams had never been in the playoffs before. They got a kid quarterback that's never been there. They have a rookie coach.
Yeah.
You're playing against a team that's been in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah. I understand all that. I understand all that, the narrative, but I like this Rams team. Offensively, I think that they're better. Defensively, I think
that
they're
better. What
did
the Falcons do down the stretch? They went...
Yeah, they won games that they needed to. They beat the Saints and Panthers. I'm a little bit more confident in them down the stretch.
The only two teams they lost to, they lost to the Saints.
Yeah.
They lost to the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the last 8 weeks.
Yeah, they've won when they needed to win. I'm a little bit more confident going down the stretch than, you know, I was 8 weeks ago. But again, there's nothing to make me come away from this Rams team.
I would say we'll bet on this.
A better offense and a better defense.
Hey, McCormick, I'd say we'd bet on this, but the money line's going to add up. And we don't make that much money here. Like, you realize.
It's like almost a paycheck
he
here.
Just, yeah, I know. That's what I
realized. Bills win a football game.
I saw, and, you know, come here, Warman. Guy comes in here, congratulations on the Bills. He starts telling me how much we suck. We have no chance against the Jags. So I just said, all right,
I never said they sucked. I said that they're probably going to score about 10 points in Jacksonville. And I said Jacksonville will probably score about 14. Where am I wrong here? This is one of the best teams defensively in football. They haven't allowed a thing. 170 yards passing. Tyrod Taylor doesn't even average that. You could potentially without your running back. Right. Are you going to change your mind when Shady doesn't play?
Here's the Bills team total, 13.5. Jags team total, 24.5. That's way too high. The Jags aren't scoring 25 points in this game.
No, and you know what? Probably 90% of their points come from, you know, turnovers.
What turnovers? We're not turning the ball over.
Man, you're underestimating this Jacksonville defense. You really are. You really are, Gabe. They've given up nothing all year. What makes you think you're going to be able to go in there and score points?
You know what I think the difference in this game is going to be? Blake Bortles is going to screw up.
I think the Bills
aren't going up and down the field on this defense, obviously. Yeah. I think Tyrod Taylor will scramble and make a play here, make a play there.
And they struggle against running quarterbacks. Like, I'm not discounting
Pass rush, that's the only hope you have if your guy's mobile. That's why I think the Jags could even match up with the Pats if they played them, just because they could get in Brady's face.
Yeah, well, you already saw what they did to Big Ben in Pittsburgh. Five picks. They shut out one of the better offensive teams in football.
We got 1 minute left. I didn't think it was going to be such a confrontational segment, to be honest. Isaiah Thomas returns tonight.
Yeah, I mean, good on Cleveland. They've been one of the best teams in basketball now to get IT back. Yeah.
For fantasy purposes, be careful. I mean, he's not even starting.
No, I mean, he's going to come off the bench. He's not going to play back-to-backs yet. He's going to take some time to gel with IT.
How about this? The Vegas Golden Knights. They haven't lost in regulation since December 1st. Yeah, they're 6-1 co-favorites to win the Stanley Cup right now.
Unbelievable. We talked about it, and Jonathan Marchessault.
They're 16-2-1 at home. The Predators are only 2-4 in their last six. And the Vegas Golden Knights are only -140. I like the Knights tonight.
Just to be different with you again, I mean, the Preds have gotten points in 9 of their last 11 road games. They're the second best road team in the NHL. I'm going to take Nashville tonight. At least I got some numbers to back that up. Points in 9 of their last 11 road games.
16-2-1.
The second best road team in the NHL, Nashville.
Just Vegas, 11-0-1.
Every streak comes to an end.
Who am I talking to, Pat Mayo here?
Like the Preds. And good odds to win the Cup, too, Nashville. 15-1.
Paul Bovey joins us next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's bring in Paul Bovey to talk some NFL football, a little college football title game Monday night. Tickets going for monster prices, man. 50-yard line, $10,000 a ticket right now. Monday night in Atlanta. Georgia getting 4.5 points. Totals 45. Paul, I want to jump into the NFL because, you know, you and I will have time to talk before next Monday. But early impressions on Georgia and Alabama national title game.
Early impressions. Well, I took under 48 last. I took under 48 less than $1.18, and right now the totals are 45. I don't see a lot of points here. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is a game manager. Rarely throws the ball more than 15, 18 times a game. Figures to be a lot of three in a cloud of dust here with the Georgia running backs who were very successful yesterday, gaining over 300 yards. It's going to be, in my opinion, a low-scoring, close game. I think they're overvaluing Alabama right now because, let's face it, Georgia didn't look great defeating Oklahoma. Alabama looked terrific in their win over Clemson. So Alabama, 4.5 points. That's what the public will remember. It's a short window looking back. And I think Georgia keeps this one close. 4.5, definitely worth taking.
All right, looking at the National Football League, I think a lot of these games and the underdogs are worth taking a look. I'm interested in your early opinions on these games, with the exception of the Titans. I'm not in a hurry to run to the window to take the Titans at +8. I don't see the Kansas City Chiefs losing a game. And if I'm taking an underdog, I want to hang my hat on the fact I think they can win the game outright. I'm not so sure the Titans can win this game outright. I'll probably end up having the Kansas City Chiefs in some teasers, moneyline parlays, etc. But I tell you what, Paul, the other three games, I actually do like the underdogs. I think the Falcons are a live dog. I think the Bills are a live dog. And I think that the Panthers are a live dog. And it wouldn't surprise me if any of those three underdogs won the game outright. You've had a great, you've had your finger on the pulse of this Rams team living in Los Angeles this year. You've been pretty successful with them. I don't know what your take is on the Titans and the Chiefs, but what's your take on the underdogs and coming into the wild card? What's your opinion on the card?
Well, I can tell you on the Ram game, I probably got the best number along with a couple other people on the planet because I laid 4 points early on. The line seemed up to 4.5, 5, 5.5, 6, and now it's tipping towards 6.5. It won't go to 7 because there'll be too much buyback. But, Gabe, I'm so unimpressed with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm waiting for them to step up and play a good, solid football game. And I don't feel that Sunday was one of those games. I feel it was another Cam Newton poor passing performance that led to that Falcons victory.
And I saw you on Twitter mentioning some of Cam Newton's poor numbers. You know, obviously the wide receiver situation has to be addressed in the offseason. What's your take on that one with them taking on the Saints? Because normally Cam Newton, and you and I have talked about this, and you're a big numbers guy, and, you know, us being here on the Fantasy Sports Network, you know, Cam Newton, normally when he plays in the Superdome, he's put up some massive numbers. He's had, like, more success at the Superdome than he's had in any other stadium on the road before. But Cam Newton is, I don't know, man. He's less predictable than, like, my ex-girlfriend is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You don't know what kind of mood he's going to be in. You know what I mean? Like, when Cam Newton's on top of his game, he's an MVP-like player. And in other times, you know, he throws for 138 yards. I don't know what to make of this guy.
Yeah, but how often is he on top of his game, and can you rely on that? Gabe, he's had 9 games this year where he's sub 200 yards in passing, and a couple of those he was playing from behind.
Yeah.
His accuracy is just downright poor. And he's just unreliable as a passer. And I might disagree with you partially in terms of his receivers. Look, Funchess has stepped up. Greg Olsen's back in the lineup. There are no excuses for some of these performances that he's had. I'm not a Cam Newton fan, but he does get the Saints, who put 3 players on IR on their defense a couple weeks ago. The Falcons could not exploit that 2 weeks ago because they kept imploding down at the goal line, but maybe Carolina can. Because Cam Newton, I can tell you, since they traded Benjamin, has been much more aggressive in terms of running. So maybe he can have one of those games where he takes off, scampers for 80 yards, hits a few balls, and outscores Drew Brees and company because they weren't great this week. And I think those omissions in the defense showed up in their loss to Tampa Bay, who, by the way, took that game very seriously because they brought guys back in the lineup who had sat the week before. They wanted to win that football game, and they did.
All right, Paul, we've only got about 3 minutes left here or so. Let's talk about my Buffalo Bills, in which I haven't heard anybody, and I've talked to a lot of people about this Jags game in the last 24 hours, Paul, already. And it's either exact polar opposites. And more people I talk to, and good cappers and people I respect, think that the Bills are a live dog in this game and can win this game outright. And then a couple of people think that the Bills have no chance and the Jags are going to shut them out and shut them down, etc. Which side of the fence are you on here in the Bills-Jags game?
Oh, first of all, the Jags are no team to be laying a touchdown with. Blake Bortles played in that game last week. His passing numbers were absolutely awful, 158 yards. And while he's improved this year, he is another quarterback who's wildly inconsistent. And to his defense, he's lost a couple receivers. Robinson was out. He's had issues with his targets since the beginning of the year. Somebody went out on IR before the season. So could you lay 7.5 with the Jacksonville Jaguars or even 7? The problem with the Bills is LeSean McCoy.
Yeah,
Nobody knows if he's going to play right now. And without him in the lineup, the Bills are just going to have a lot of trouble.
I think he's going to play, but can he get through the entire game? How effective is he going to be? All right, we got about a minute. Titans and Chiefs. Titans, can they shock the world? I mean, Titans did just beat the Jags to get in here right now, but it's hard to buy into these guys right now. Malarkey's a terrible coach, too.
Well, here's the deal. You've got in Mariota another wildly inconsistent quarterback. 3 of his last 5 games, he's been under 159 yards passing.
Oh, he's been consistent recently, but it consistently average or less than average. The kid struggled I like Mariota, too. I think he's a good athlete, could be a decent quarterback, but he has struggled this year, Paul.
He struggled. Look, the Titans had to win that game on Sunday. They were all out. The Jaguars lost Jalen Strong, and they compiled all of 232 yards of offense, and one of those was a 66-yard run. That's not a team I want to back that doesn't have a reliable offense against a team that will score some points, who generally move the football throughout the entire season, had a running game except against your Buffalo Bills, who did shut them down in that loss.
We got to get out of here, Paul. Check out Paul's picks over at VegasInsider.com. We'll definitely speak to Paul again on some medium or format before the playoffs. And, Paul, I look forward quickly, literally. Did you bet a future yet? We got to get out of here, though, fast. Did you bet a future?
I may take New England on the no.
New England on the no. I like where you're going with that. I got a Pittsburgh-Minnesota Super Bowl. We'll come back with our plays of the day. Find Paul on Twitter at Paul Bovey as well.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. So I guess officially this is our first plays of the day segment of 2018. I will keep we'll keep track of the record sport by sport from here on out. We'll start off in the National Hockey League here this evening. The Winnipeg Jets always screw me, man. And these guys seem to be winning every night, and I haven't been betting on them at all. So I'm going to take them tonight. If the Jets don't win tonight, we know I can't bet on Jet games. But I'm going to take the Jets tonight. I'm definitely taking the Golden Knights tonight, man. How can I not? You know what? They're 16-2-1 on their home ice. They haven't lost in regulation since like December the 1st, and are only 40-cent favorites against a Predators team that's lost four of their last 6 hockey games. Give me Vegas. Go Vegas. What do we got going on here in the NBA? Phoenix Suns on their home court tonight. I think they're in a good spot against the Atlanta Hawks. Give me Jay Triano and the Suns. college basketball. I like a lot of small favorites or underdogs. Baylor, -1 on their home court. Give me Butler plus the 7 points. Give me Nebraska plus the 8 against Northwestern. We'll lay the 6 at 6.5. We'll buy a half point with the Jayhawks. And the Florida Gators struggling, but Texas A&M's best player is out. Give me the Florida Gators plus 3 points. Other night, you're on your own. Made a winners be yours.